Now, as you know, we have been working through the book of Ephesians through, oh gosh, several months now. But we're going to take a little break from that this morning. Dave has asked me to speak on the subject of giving. And so we're going to do that instead. And as I've been preparing for this in the week and praying into it, God wants to bring some healing. He wants to bring some freedom to some individuals in this whole area of giving and of receiving. And so... So that's what we're going to be talking about. How many people know that God is a generous giver? Oh, quite a few, not everyone, quite a lot of us. That's really good. Because, you know, if you're taking notes, what's today's talk about? God is a generous giver. That's our subject. So, we're going to stand for the reading of the word. It's going to be slightly different this morning because we've got two scriptures instead of one. And the marvellous Claire is going to bring them up. Right, Claire is doing her first week on visuals on her own. She's doing a good job. This is probably, arguably, the most famous verse in the whole the Bible, if not certainly the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just ponder that. How's that for a gift? He gave his only son. Parents, can you imagine that? He gave his only son for us. Isn't that glorious? Okay, next scripture. We're going to jump to the beginning of Peter's second letter. Maybe not me. And it begins thus: Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Word of the Lord to us this morning. Please be seated. See your versions up. You've got the ESV, I've got the NIV. There's the odd difference in wording, but the gist is exactly the same. See, God loves us so much that he gave us Jesus. Even when, Ephesians says, doesn't it? Even when you were dead in your transgressions and sins, he made us alive through Christ. And through Jesus, we have received here. We have received, or you've obtained. Okay, you've obtained a faith. You've received a faith, mine says, as precious as ours. Isn't that amazing? And what else have we got? Grace and peace. In abundance, my version says, multiplied to us. Your version says, who would like a multiplication of grace and a multiplication of peace? Not bad, eh? God is a generous giver. He doesn't just sprinkle a tiny bit. You want some peace? There you go. Tiny bit of that one, you go. Now, abundance, multiplication is how our God works. And all of that stuff is past tense. Look at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. My version has everything we need. His divine power, past tense, has given us everything we need for life, to get through, and for godliness. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever pondered that? God has given us, through Jesus, in his divine power, everything that we need for life and for godliness. We've heard a little bits of it this morning in what song you brought, what Rachel. The word of God is powerful, and he's got divine power, and he's already used it. We have obtained a faith. We have received a faith. We have got grace and peace, and it is being multiplied. His divine power has given us everything we need. He wants to bless us, doesn't he? Actively. God's not sitting there with his arms folded saying, well, if you're here, I'll like you. seeks to bless us spiritually, emotionally, and materially, financially as well. And that means, all of that means we have to be willing and able to receive all that he has for us. How good are you at giving? You could be a generous giver like God. I think a lot of us are. Not everyone, but I think a lot of us are. Because the church generally are very generous. How good are you at receiving when somebody gives you something? Can you deal with that? Or do you want to know something? Some of us are great at receiving, aren't we? Some of us are just like little kids with a birthday present, and it's like instant excitement and the ripping off the wrapping paper and the tearing open the box. Instant joy, instant excitement. Usually the parents have to say, you know, say thank you to Auntie Bridget, because we think we're too wrapped up in the wonder of having been given something fantastic. But a lot of us have real difficulty in doing that. A lot of people have real difficulty in receiving. And that's a problem for God, if you can imagine God having a problem. That's a problem for God because he's wanting to give us stuff all the time. And we're going, no thanks. God's a generous giver. He's saying, hey, church, I've given you my son. I've given you eternal life. I've given you faith. I've given you grace and peace. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. Please accept it. And we're going, no thanks, God, not me. What does that say about us? What does that say about our faith level? About who we are as Christians? If we can't receive, or we won't receive. It's a big deal. And if that's you this morning, God's here to set you free from that. Today, you're not going to walk out of here the same this morning as you walked in, if that applies to you. And you're not going to like this next bit, because fundamentally, when you sort of dig down to the roots, this issue of not being able to receive fundamentally is an issue of pride. You might not think so, but it is. One of them, I mean, you know, in a very obvious sense, it's the arrogance, well, I don't need your charity, I'm like, thank you very much, I don't need your stuff. I think, oh. More common is that pride and independence that says, I'm just going to manage. Yeah, I'm struggling, and you know, it's hard to make ends meet, but I'll grit my teeth, and I'll push on through, and you know, I'm going to come through this, I'm going to make it, I'll get through to the end of this month, and I'll do it. It's pride and independence. I don't need God. I don't need your help. I'll do it on my own, thank you. It's really a sin. That's where Adam and Eve were. What's right and what's wrong? What's good and evil? I don't need God to tell me that, so to answer. But if that's you, like I say, you can change today. God's divine power is in this building this morning to change who you are. And if you're one who struggles to receive, I think he's brought you here specifically, especially this morning, to be broken free of all of that. So you can have everything for you, and everything that we have for you together as well. There's another one, there's a sort of upside down inverted kind of pride, which is to do with self-esteem. It's people who won't receive anything because, well, they're not really worthy of it, and they don't really deserve it, and no, I'm sure there must be somebody more needy than I am, there must be somebody else who's poorer than me, give it them, because really, I'm not... Hands up all those people who were worthy of salvation. Who were worthy of salvation before God got hold of us. How many of us deserved God's eternal love before he got hold of us? None of us. You see, it's not about what you deserve. It's not about how worthy you are. If our salvation was based on how worthy and deserving and entitled we are, we'd all be doomed forever. But it's not. It's not. And that voice that goes, oh no, I can't receive anything. I'm really not. No, give it there. Maybe it's more than that. It sounds like it's sort of quite kind. Oh no, don't give it me. Give it somebody else. It poses as generosity, but actually, it's an inverted pride and an independence, and it's got to go. Because if God is a generous giver, who are we to say, oh, no thanks, give it somebody else? Would you like to be saved for eternity? No, no thanks, give it somebody else. Really? No. He's a generous giver. If I can still say, can we say that? God is a generous giver.
God is a generous giver.
Turn to the person next to you and say, God is a generous giver. Yeah, you see, it's true. Rachel's already said it, the word of God is true. So, you know, if you're living in circumstances at the moment where you're struggling financially, or you're struggling in other areas, because those things happen to us all, God is a generous giver. And we can turn to him, we can say, oh, God, you know, wow, please, I need this, and God says, okay, you know. And he wants us to receive. So if you've got problems receiving, whether it's emotionally, particularly for a lot of people, it's about money. You know, here's somewhere you know. It's almost as if you know something wrong with money. It's not very holy. Wrong. Read the accounts of the temple, built with gold and jewels. Just wonderful things. Solid gold items of worship. There's nothing wrong with money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, not the money itself. It's what we do with it. So if you're struggling to receive, I'm going to pray for you later on, and you're going to be changed because the Spirit of God is here, His divine power is here, and He'll change your thinking and He'll change your heart. Because He's a generous giver, and He wants us to be the same. Let's look at another scripture. Claire, can we have 2 Corinthians, please? 9. Verses 7 to 11. This is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Each of you, let me read your versions. Can we start back a bit, verse 7? There we go. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, notice that, all those points, you've got all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Those who give freely, their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. He, our Lord, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which, through us, will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The context here, Paul is writing, it's his second letter to the church in Corinth. It's actually probably his third letter to the church in Corinth, but we lost one. And the original home church in Jerusalem, the original first believers in Jesus back in Jerusalem, are struggling at this time. There's a lot of hardship. Persecution, but also financial hardship. So Paul, as he goes around what is now Turkey and Greece with all these churches, he's getting together a collection which he's going to take back to Jerusalem and give it to the church that's struggling as a gesture of love from all the other churches that he's planted around the Mediterranean. So that's what he's talking about here. And he sent Titus with this letter to Corinth to get their money. So that's where he, you know, this business about each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. I'm not arm twisting. You give what you've decided to give because God loves a cheerful giver. It's wonderful. So in writing to the church in this way, about a specific collection for a specific church at a specific time. He's also, like Paul does, he's setting out principles for us and for every church every time. God loves a cheerful giver. And the more we give, the more we give, the more he will provide for us. Can we just skip back for a moment back to verse 8? Yes, we can. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So he's saying to Corinth, and he's saying to us, you can give, you can be a generous giver. Not on the basis of, because I'm loaded and I've got billions in the bank. No, you can be a generous giver because you've got a God who gives generously to you. And the more we give, the more he will provide. He is able to bless us abundantly. So that we're not going short. And you might think, oh, well, I can't really afford to give that much. Well, give it anyway, because guess what God's going to do? It's marvellous, isn't it? He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Lovely farming metaphors there. But he gives us the stuff. He gives us the money. And we can give it away. There's a wonderful spiritual principle. Can we jump to verse 11, please? Look at this. You will be enriched in every way. To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. There's a wonderful godly principle here. There's a virtuous circle, which is God gives me stuff, and I'm talking about money now. God gives me money, and I give it away to people who need it. They give thanks up to God. And it comes back down again, and it keeps back around, and you get more, and you give more, and they go, oh, thank you, God, that's wonderful. And it just keeps going round and round and round. It's glorious. It's not what we think. It's not what we often hear. It's not the way our natural fleshly minds work. We either go, oh, money, great, I'm going to grab it and I'll have it all for myself, thank you very much. Or we go, oh, no, 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 I don't want to touch that. Oh, no, no, just be holy. It's a false dichotomy. It's not how it is. Let me give you a personal note here at this point while I just have a little sip of water. When we got saved, 1984, Jules and I got saved. We were completely ungodly, unchristian, up to that point. And we were also very poor. I'd been working as an actor. I'd been unemployed for several months. We had next to nothing. We were living in this horrible, grotty flat in Hare Hills in Leeds. And our lives were falling to bits. We were on our uppers in every possible way. And God broke in mightily. And he turned our lives around. Firstly, in the spirit, of course, he broke in spiritually. Totally changed our hearts, totally changed who we were. I love Psalm 40. You know, it says, he lifted me out of a slimy pit. That's exactly where we were. We were in a slimy pit. And I, in my selfish, independent way, was desperately trying to dig up. I'll sort this, don't worry. And of course, what happens when you're digging in a slimy pit? You just get covered in mud. And God just went, wash it clean. And it was wonderful, as all salvations are wonderful. They're all miraculous, aren't they? But mine especially. And within 3 months, our entire lives have changed. I mean, you know, spiritually, our lives changed overnight. But materially, our lives changed within a few months. Within 3 months, I've got a teaching job. We've got a house in North Leeds. We were part of a wonderful church. And everything had changed. Spiritually changed. Emotionally changed, and materially and financially changed. Because God's a generous giver in all those areas. But we still didn't have a right lot. Jules was still at home with our youngest. I'm working as a teacher, but I'm on, like, you know, scale one, it used to be called in those days, so bottom level teacher's pay. Our son Tom, one who's getting married, he was at infant school then, but he was on free school meals because we, you know, our level of income was such that he was on free school meals. And we just about made it to the end of each month. And I can remember, I've mentioned this before, several months, we were tithing, and our tithe was £60 a month, which shows you what my wages were. And the number of times, the number of months, we had a bill come in that was 60 quid, like a tithe for the car, or a gas bill. In the days before you paid your gas and electric by direct debit, you know, you just got a bill every 3 months, it was like, oh. The number of times these bills were exactly the amount that we tithed became a bit of a joke, because you can try it double, but you don't get anywhere. But well, it wasn't easy. And then, after about a year and a half, God gave us a word, and it was this word, verse 11. He said, specifically to the angels, he said, our version was, you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. And it gave us that as a word, and we believed it. And we started praying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're going to be made rich in different ways and we're going to be generous. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. This is what you said. Absolutely nothing changed. Our lives were still the same, my pay was still the same, we were still getting to the month's end and just about making it. But it didn't matter. Because, Rachel, God's word is more important than your circumstances. And our circumstances, really, nothing happened for over a year. But we believed it and we kept praying it. And we kept praying it. Thank you, Lord. We are going to be enriched in every way, so we can be generous in every occasion. And then, after all that time, after many, many months, boom. Our daughter Emily was now in reception. And one morning, Jules is dropping her off in the playground, and the head comes out and says, some of you used to be a primary school teacher before you had kids. Is that right? I said, well, yeah, about 20 years ago. Well, we've got a member of staff off sick. Do you think you could come and work for us for a couple of weeks? I fill in. A couple of weeks eventually became 9 years. So now suddenly we've got twice as much income. Not yet, no interview, no job applications, just double your money. And then, me dad come into a little bit of money, and he bought us a brand new car. I never had a new car in my life. A brand new car. We had an old, battered, old Fiat, which we gave away to a family in the church who didn't have a car, because we're made rich in every way, so we could be generous in every day. And that's been our lives ever since. We've never looked back. That's God. That's Him. That's how He is. God has blessed us in every area of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, financially, and we've been able to bless others too. Because that's that circle again. God blesses you, you bless others. They say thank you, Lord, and round it goes. Now, I am not saying we've never had any trouble in this 14 years, because believe me, we've had plenty. We've had a lot of trouble and a lot of grief. Our backs are covered in scars from the various knives that have gone in them over the years. But God is always there, and God has always provided for us. And He has never gone back on His word. Never. Never. God's word is true. Now, I want to bring a bit of caution in here now, because I don't. My old pastor, Tony Smith, always used to say, don't hear what I'm not saying. And there's a danger. I love what Rick Joyner did. You've heard of Rick Joyner? He's a very prophetic guy in North Carolina. He says, the highway of righteousness goes along straight. Narrow is the path, Jesus said. The highway of righteousness goes straight, but there's a ditch on either side. And we have to walk the way of righteousness and be careful not to fall into that ditch and overcorrecting and now we're in this ditch. And in terms of money, the ditch on this side is what is generally referred to as prosperity gospel, which takes a word like this and says, there you are, God wants you to be rich, you should be driving around in a Mercedes, you should be living in a mansion, you should have £1 million in the bank, that's what God wants for you. And furthermore, if you're not, and if you're struggling a bit financially, well, then you must be in sin. Because this is what God says. So if you're not rich, clearly you're not with God. What's wrong with you? that is a total demonic distortion of what the Word of God says. Don't fall in to that ditch, because that is not what God's saying. What he's saying is, he will provide for whatever you need. And abundantly, so that you've got plenty to give away. Now the ditch on the other side is a sort of poverty mentality ditch, which goes, oh well, you know, I don't really, I mean, Jesus didn't have a lot, did he? And I don't think I should have anything very much, and I'll just make do with a little tiny bit. If I could just have perhaps a crust of bread, and, you know, I might buy a little something for myself, you know, maybe at Christmas, that'll do, I'll get by. That's a demonic distortion as well. Because that's not what the Word of God is saying. And if that's you, God wants to set you free today as well. It's not freedom right out there. What? God is a generous giver, and so are we. And we walk down this highway of righteousness, receiving all that God has for us, spiritually and financially, and just giving. We pray for other people, like the song is praying this morning. We give it away. And the more we give it away, the more thanks God gets, the more we get, the more we give it away, and the more is this wonderful stuff. Because our God is a generous giver. And he wants us to be as well. And I think most of us are, but I think some are not. And God wants to set you free today as well. And again, the issue usually is pride. Some people, you know, I'm not giving my money away, I've worked hard for this. I work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week to earn this money. You think I'm giving it to some poor people, I've got another thing coming. Who gave you the ability to earn it in the first place, by the way? How did you get that job? How did you have those abilities that got you the job to get the money? It can squirrel away. More common than that, actually, more common are people who are not generous givers, not because they're arrogant and proud, but because they're anxious. I'd love to give money away, but you know, I haven't got a lot, and I know, you know, there's going to be a bill coming at the end of the month, and the mortgage has gone up, and cost of living, I just can't afford to give. Oh dear. It's a trust issue. God's a generous giver, but I don't really believe it, and I can't really trust him to provide for me, so I'll just, you know. There is no cost of living crisis in heaven. There isn't even a cost of living crisis in the kingdom of God on earth. Why not? Well, because God's a generous giver. Now, if you're worried about your money, and you're worrying about it, and, oh, you know, I mean, yeah, plenty of us have money problems, plenty of us need, you know, we could do with a bit more, and the mortgage has gone up, and, you know, all of that is true. But where are you looking to? I'm looking to a generous giver to provide and fulfill my needs. And if you're one of those who's anxious, which is, it's dead understandable. It's very human. I'm worried because I'm not. I'm trying to provide for my family, and I know it's tight, and now you want me to give more. If that's you, you don't believe Philippians 4:19, which the one understand. My God, this is Paul again. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Woo, do you believe that? Well, I'd like to believe it for a minute. My God will provide all your needs. Full stop. How can he possibly provide all your needs? Well, because his riches. Yes. His are the power of that, isn't it? Now, that is spiritual. He's talking about our spiritual needs. And our, you know, more faith, more, all of that, knowing Jesus more, all of that is true. But there isn't a division in Scripture between the spiritual and the material. That came in with the Greeks. God is spirit, but we're not. And all of that spirit, material, gulf, it's not biblical at all. He will provide for all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, he will supply all your needs. In fact, he already has. We just have to appropriate them. Right, where am I? Jesus has a lot to say about all this, doesn't he? Jesus talks a lot about money. I mean, we tend to focus on, you know, sexual sin, but Jesus actually talks an awful lot more about money than just about that. All over the place, you know, don't be anxious about anything, look at the sparrows, you know, God knows them, all of that stuff. Luke 16 is a great place to start. We're not going there now, but he has the parable of the shrewd manager, and he ends up saying, you cannot serve both God and money. There's one God. Which is it? Now, if you're, and I don't believe this is true of any of us, if you're mega greedy, and all I care about is money and getting more money, and then I can buy me Porsche, and then I can move to a posher house, and then we can have a new kitchen, and we're going on 4 holidays a year, and I've got all this money. God doesn't have an opinion on that picture. You've got money is your God. But exactly the same is true. If you're going, oh, I don't know how much money I've got, I'm not sure if I can manage it, I better just come and look at the spreadsheet and just see what's coming in, and now, can we afford this? I don't think we can, this, I think we'll do. If that's you, your focus is on money, not on God. You can't serve God and money. It's one or the other. Which would you rather have? I don't know which one. No, contest. I love God because he's a generous giver. Alright, so if you're spending time worrying about money, think about God instead. Today's the day to be set free. So, I've talked about 4 things. People who struggle to receive for whatever reason, they find it hard to receive. God wants to set you free this morning. People who find it hard to give for whatever reason, God wants to set you free today as well. Because you're breaking that circle. Anybody who has fallen for that prosperity gospel teaching that says, you know, you should be a millionaire if you're not, you're a sinner, God wants to set you free from that today as well. And anybody who's got that poverty mindset that thinks my destiny is just to be, you know, to have very little and just struggle by it, you know, it'll be all right when I get to heaven, but right now it's rubbish. That's not what the word of God says, and he wants to set you free from that thing as well. Now, if you are any of those 4 people, you will know it, because the Holy Spirit will be going, he does that to you, just need a little dig in there, isn't it? It's you. No, it's not you, it is. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something incredibly courageous and brave. Why does it stand up? If you struggle to give, if you struggle to receive, if you have prosperity teaching in the past that has sucked you in, if you've got this poverty mindset that says, oh no, not me, I'm never going to be. God wants to get rid of that right now. Right now. Thank you. 3 people standing up. That's very courageous. 4 people, even more courageous. I'm going to pray for you right now. Those who are around, if you'd like to reach your hands out to these lovely people. If you're listening to this on the recording, this applies to you as well. Because God wants to set us free. We have all those wonderful songs, Break Every Chain, don't we? One of Teresa's favourites. He's breaking your chains this morning. So, Heavenly Father, in the authority given to me in the Word of God, in the power of the name of Jesus, I break off every chain on these wonderful people who have stood here today. I break off the inability to receive. God says, you are worthy to receive all I have for you because my spirit is in you and my son is within you. You're in Christ and in him you have all that you need. Take it, enjoy it, live in the blessings of it. And if you have trouble giving, I pray, Lord God, you will break those chains of people. Help them to be generous givers like you are, because their hearts are true and they want to be like you, Lord God, and they are becoming more like you. And this day, you're going to break those chains. And anyone who's fallen prey to prosperity teaching that is a distortion, doctrine of demons, Paul talks about, Lord, break them free of that. Renew their minds. Be transformed this morning, now, by the renewing of your mind, that you will think differently. And similarly, poverty mindset, be gone in the name of Jesus. There is no place in the kingdom of heaven for pauper's mindset. We are children of the King. We live in the kingdom of heaven. Our God is a generous giver, and he will provide all our needs. Be set free right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Sit down. If you listen on the recording, you can sit down too. Right, I'm nearly finished. What was one last bit?
Yikes.
Got over time. All right. Giving to God, giving to the church, which I guess is probably why Dave asked me to speak about it in the first place. Malachi, the very last prophet in the Old Testament, if we don't include John the Baptist. Malachi is a prophet, and he's prophesying to Israel, who are God's holy people, but they've veered off, like they so often do. And he says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me." But you say, "How have we robbed you? In your tithes and your contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." The you is vulnerable. You are. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house," says God, "and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Whoa. Heavy stuff. If you're not tithing and giving to the church, you are in serious danger of coming under a curse from God. You don't want to do that. You really don't. Why? Well, because you're breaking that cycle. I'm not doing it. But again, it's not just heavy words, because look at that last bit. "Bring the full tithe in," says God, "and put me to the test, if I will not open the windows of heaven." My version has the storehouse, the floodgates, my version has. "Open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there won't be enough room to store it." See, it's that same principle. You give, and guess what God does? That's how it works. The more you give, the more God sees. You're a generous giver, just like me. Brilliant, have some more. He can give you £1 million because he knows that you're going to give a little bit away anyway. The money, God doesn't mind you having money. He doesn't want the money having you. It's wonderful. And listen, with tithe, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. For those who don't know, a tithe is 10%. So the basic level of giving to the church is 10% of what you get goes to the church. For God. In those days, it went to the temple and to the priests. Now, in Christian terms, it goes to the church. If you're a visitor here, this doesn't apply to you in the slightest, but if you're part of King's Church, or if you've come in the last few months and you think, "Yeah, I want to be part of this church," then you should be tithing a minimum 10% to the work of the church. I can say this because I don't get paid by King's Church. All the money we've got comes from our teachers' pensions. I have never received a penny from King's Church.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the 7 years that we've been here. I bought all these flats and then the church gave me money back. But things like that, but I've never had any money. Now, Dave gets a salary from the church, and because Angela does a lot of the work as well, he shares that salary with her. So they're getting paid. Crystalina gets paid a little bit to do some cleaning. And all the rest of it goes to the upkeep of this building. We rent this building from United Reformed Church, so we pay rent on this every month. We've got all the bills like electric, all that stuff. And for the work of the church. That's what the tithing is for. And tithing is a baseline. I mean, we give 10% to the church. That's not all we give. We give a whole lot more than that to a lot of other people and all sorts of other charities. 10% is your baseline. You might have noticed as well, one last point, when the offering baskets go around, a lot of people don't put anything in it, me included. You've never seen me put anything in the baskets. Why not? Well, because our tithes go by direct debit. They come out of our bank account before we even see it, which is a lot easier then. It's just like before it even comes to us, 10% of it, King's Church saving, there it is, done. Also, So, you know, if you want to give regularly, that's the best way to do it, because you don't even see the money, it just comes out. Also, if you're a UK taxpayer, and we even our pensions are taxed, can you believe that? We pay tax on our pension. Anyway, if you're a UK taxpayer, we can gift aid it. You can fill in a gift aid form, which means that the church can, as a charity, the church can claim back from the government the tax that you'd paid on the money that you gave us. So we get 25% back. So if I give 100 quid to the church and I gift aid it, the church gets 125. Yeah. Once a year, the accounts are done. Last year, I think I'm right in saying, Chris, we've got the best part of 16,000 quid. Just in gift aid returns. It's glorious. Now, Chris, stand up, Chris, please. Chris Seal is our treasurer. He is absolutely wonderful. He's brilliant at it. He's an ex-bank manager, so he knows all about it. He's got the forms. So if you're part of King's Church and you're not giving by standing order and you would like to, see Chris, he'll give you the forms and you can fill them in today. I'll take them home for the meeting next week. Also, if you're a taxpayer and you're not gift aiding it yet, again, Chris has got the forms, fill them in and we can get all that money back from the government. Isn't that glorious? But I don't want to close with you thinking this entire sermon has just been a build-up to get you to give the church more money. It's not. It's not. That's just a tiny part of it. It's to say, our God is a generous God. And he will provide all our needs, and that includes financial needs, as well as the spiritual and emotional and material, everything else. Our God is a generous God. Put him to the test and see if that's true this month. And you'll find that it is. Try and outgive God. Let's pray.